We're just going to get started. I wanted to ask, first of all, how many of you don't want to be where you're at today, next year at this time? Me either. But we all know that if you want something different, you got to be willing to do something different, right? Yes. I want to tell you real quick, I'm receiving healing. And so my voice, I already sound like Minnie Mouse, but it's kind of magnified. So I heard the church, some of y'all were praying that I would talk because I almost totally lost my voice. I was like, the devil was mad. He didn't want me to preach tonight. So if I sound extra soft, I'm just, you know, I'm receiving healing as we speak. But, you know, I love to teach on success, and I love to read success books because I discover that every success principle comes straight from God's word. So, you know, Dave Ramsey says, if you want to be rich, study rich people. You want to be skinny, study skinny people. You want to be successful, study successful people, right? So I love to read success books. And I was reading one not too long ago, and it's by a successful doctor. His name is Dr. Seuss. And he made this statement. He said, you have brains in your head and feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you're the one who will decide where to go. It's for kids, but it's really deep, isn't it? You're the one who will decide where to go. In other words, you're going to decide what you're going to do with the rest of your life. It's completely up to you. And I want you to know, I like to tell people this, that if your dreams are possible, you're not dreaming big enough. If your dreams are possible, you're not dreaming big enough. Do you know that God wants you to be an impossibility thinker? He wants your dreams so big, so outside the realm of possibility, that there is no way this dream can happen unless you use your faith. You know, the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith, right? So if you have an impossible dream and you don't have a clue how this thing's going to happen, you probably got the right dream. You know, as I said, I like to study successful people, and I like to read about Walt Disney. I'm a visual learner, so you're going to see a lot of props. But I love to learn, you know, from Walt Disney because he was an impossibility thinker. In fact, you know, I read stories about him, how whenever he would meet with his board of directors, his team, he would throw out all these ideas. And if everybody at the table said, yeah, Walt, that's a good idea, let's do that, he'd say, then that's not what we're going to do. Then he would throw out these ideas, and if everybody said, Walt, that's impossible, no one has ever done that before, he'd say, then that's exactly what we're going to do. He was an impossibility thinker. Well, God wants you to be that impossibility thinker. So dream outside the realm of possibility. That means you've probably heard from God. You know, back in 2003, I was promoted as the CEO of Jerry Savelle Ministries. And at the time, overseeing offices in the USA, the United Kingdom, we have an office in Wales, in Canada, Africa, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. And so when I was given this responsibility, in fact, the day my dad announced it to our whole staff, he brought me in front of everyone and said, Terry's the new Senior Vice President of Jerry Savelle Ministries International. And the best way to describe it was kind of like fear went all over the place. And everybody just kind of looked at me, you know, like, you're kidding. Legally Blonde's going to lead the ministry. And so, you know, I assured them. I said, you know, I just want y'all to know, if you're wondering if I'm qualified to do this or not, I said, I graduated from university with honors with a degree in French and communications. And I said, so, no, I'm not qualified. But I said, I feel like Jehoshaphat, you know, when the armies are coming against him. And he just said, God, I don't know what to do. Even if I did, I don't have the strength to do it. But he said, my eyes are on you. And so I told the staff that day, I said, I want to promise you this. Number one, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. Number two, I'm going to educate myself as a leader. I'm going to educate myself as a leader. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because you have to have a plan for growth. You do, personally. You know, when you're a kid, growth is automatic. It just happens. You don't even have to try. You just grow. But as an adult, it must be intentional, it must be strategic, and it must be planned. So I didn't have a plan for growth, and all of a sudden I heard John Maxwell make this statement. He said, if I could come to your house and watch you for 24 hours, I could tell whether or not you're going to be a success or a failure. And he said, you know, he said, a lot of times people get mad when I make that statement and they think I sound kind of arrogant. He said, but no, this is it. He said, let me watch you. You pick the day, but let me watch you from the moment you wake up till you go to bed that night. He said, just by observing you in one 24-hour period, I could tell in what direction your life is headed. He said, the reason I say this is because the secret of your future is revealed in your daily agenda. I like to say it like this. The secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. You know, I have a magazine actually called The Routine. Those of you who signed up and got the little card, you're going to get that magazine, The Routine. I'm so convinced of this principle, that's why I named my magazine The Routine. And I'm absolutely convinced that when I changed my routine, it changed my whole life. So back then, you know, I didn't have a plan for growth. I didn't have a professional life coach give me this strategic plan for growth, you know. I just sat in my bedroom and just made a plan. I said, I'm going to do these 5 things for the next 21 days. Because I'd been told if you do something consistently for 21 days, you can break an old habit and start a new one, right? So I said, okay, I'm going to do these 5 things for 21 days. Number one, I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend some time with God every day. If it's 5 minutes, if it's 30 minutes, I'm going to spend time with God. Number two, I'm going to listen to a faith-building message every day. Number three, I'm going to make myself read something. Even if it's one proverb, I'm going to read something every day. Number four, I said I'm going to look at my list of dreams and goals every day. I'm going to keep them before my eyes. And number five, I'm going to exercise. Now, those were just mine personally. But that simple plan that I started was 11 years ago, and I haven't stopped. Wow. 11 years ago. But that simple and sort of ridiculous-looking growth plan has led to me co-hosting a TV show that airs in over 200 nations, writing books, having them published, and seeing them in bookstores all over the world, hosting success conferences, speaking at my friend Pam's conference that's 15,000 businessmen and women, walking in Paris, France into a bookstore and seeing my books in French. Wow. All because I give God all the glory. But I'm convinced when I changed my routine, it changed my whole life. And you know, I think Jim Rohn said it best. He said, success is something you attract by the person you become. Success is something you attract by the person you become. He said, if you want more, you must become more. He said, so many times we want better things. You know, we want a better job, better career, a better body, a better salary, a better marriage, better opportunities. But the way to have better is become better. He also said, if you don't have much, perhaps you haven't become much. Now, when I first heard that, I was like, ow, that really hurts. But it made me want to become a better person, you know, just to grow. So I just want to illustrate for you some of the things I learned just from those 5 simple habits. So number one, just as I began listening to a faith-building motivational message every day, my thinking began to change. You know, I remember learning that, you know, that when you get born again, every single one of us are given the measure of faith. You know, you've probably heard that. Everyone is given the same measure. Nobody's given more. Just like when we're all born, everybody's given the same amount of muscles. But you might say, well, then how come there's those guys with the giant muscles? Like, there's a guy in here. I saw him. He's where is he? There he is. I saw him right as I walked in. I was like, wow. Okay, so what's the difference in his muscles and my muscles? You might say not much, but no, but the point is he has developed his muscles to a greater degree so he can handle much, right? He can handle more than me. Well, it's the same with faith. You see people believing for millions of dollars, and then you see other people believing to fill up their car with gas. What's the difference? They've just developed their faith to a greater degree. So when I learned that, I was like, well, gosh, I need more faith. How do I get more faith? Well, Romans tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So every time you push play and you listen to a message, faith comes. Not only does faith come, but fear goes. Because you see, faith and fear are opposite forces. You can't be full of faith and full of fear at the same time. So every single time you're listening to a message, faith comes, fear goes. Faith comes, fear goes. So think about this. Just by the fact that you made yourself come out on a Tuesday night to hear the Word of God, your faith is stronger today than it was yesterday. Isn't that cool? Yes. So could you imagine doing this for 21 days? Do you think your faith would grow?
Yes.
Now imagine doing it for 10 years. But you might say, well, Terry, that's cool, but I don't have time for that. But I kind of think you do. Here's why. And I don't know what it is in England, but in America, the average American drives 30 minutes to work and 30 minutes back home every single day. After doing that for 5 years, that's 1,250 hours in your car, or the equivalent of a college education or university education. So imagine every day, if you just download some podcasts, we have free ones on my website. I'm sure the pastor and them have different things you can download. What if you just made yourself use your drive time to grow? Just make it a habit where every single time you get on the subway or the metro, whatever it's called, the tube or the tube or something, the underground, every time you get on that thing, you push play. And you say, I don't have time to talk. This is my growing time. Or what about every morning while you're getting ready? I don't know about you, but it takes a while to look like this. So... So every morning I go in my bathroom, and now it's just a habit. You know, when I first started this back in 2002, I had to put a big sticky note on my mirror that said push play. I had my CD player in there, had some CDs. I'd walk in there, I'd see the note, oh yeah, push play. I'd push it, brush my teeth, and I was listening to the word. But as I began doing this, I began to learn things like you got to have vision. The Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, I looked up that word perish and it means die. I looked up the word die and it means die. So I finally got it, you know? And so I began to realize things that I have got to have a reason to get up in the morning. There's a reason I'm here. There's a reason you're here. That God's counting on you doing something. And you know, I remember years ago, and I may have told y'all this because I share this everywhere I go because it impacted my life so much, is I remember hearing John Bevere make this statement. He said, when judgment day comes, and it's going to come, when every single one of us are going to stand before God and give an account for our lives. He said, but when that day comes and you stand before God, he said, he's not going to hold you accountable for what you did on earth. And I was like, what? I thought he was. He said, no, he's going to hold you accountable for what you were called to do on earth. So he may say, I called you to sing. Why didn't you sing? And you say, well, I just didn't think my voice was that great. Yeah, but I called you to sing. I called you to write books. Why didn't you write the book? Well, I couldn't find a publisher. Well, why didn't you self-publish? Why didn't you go to another publisher? I called you to start a business. Why didn't you start the business? Well, the bank turned me down. Well, why didn't you go to another bank? God's going to hold us accountable for what he put us on earth to do. I called you to preach. Why didn't you preach? Well, nobody wanted to hear me. Well, why didn't you go on the street corner? Do something. So when I heard that, it really kind of scared me a little bit that I got to have vision. You know, that not only do I have to have vision, but I've got to write my vision. Habakkuk tells us, write the vision, make it plain on paper. So I began writing my dreams and goals. And I remember sitting in my guest bedroom just writing things, just not even sure, and you may not be sure either if what you're dreaming is God or if you're just making it up. But I wrote it down anyway. And I remember writing, I said, for some reason, I wrote five things. I said, for some reason, I see myself on television. I don't know why, because I've never wanted to be in the spotlight, especially with this voice. But I said, for some reason, I see myself on TV with my dad. And then I said, number two, I see myself writing books. And I said, I even wrote in here, I said, it's not that I want to be famous. That's not it at all. But for some reason, I see myself writing books. And then I said, number three, I see myself having a women's conference with a theme. I said, I don't know what the theme is, but I see women coming from all over the world to this conference. And then number four, I said, I see myself helping teenage girls. And I said, I don't know if it's, you know, because of my own past, because I got pregnant my last semester of university. And I said, I see myself helping girls. And then I said, the fifth one was, I see myself making a difference in the nation of France. But I said, I don't know anyone in France. I'm just a little girl from Texas that speaks rusty French. But I said, God, I trust you. Well, I wrote those dreams down, and then I updated them in my vision book. And do you know every single thing I wrote has happened? Everything. I mean, you know, we have the women's conference. It's called Icing, which I didn't know what the theme was, but it's Icing. And then here we are helping teenage girls, which we give the girls' homes my dream kits. We give them these books that are in the kit, teaching them how to make their dreams bigger than their memories. And so you have to take the time to write your dreams and goals. Do you know your chance of success increases by 98% when you put your dreams in writing? 98%? But do you know, I was just sharing this last night. Was that last night? Yeah, or night before in Scotland. I was telling them, you know, about this professor at Virginia Tech, which I just love telling this because it just amazes me. But he said he did research on successful people and goal setting. He found that people who write their dreams and goals are 9 times as much as those who don't. He also said he walked up to random people on the street and he just asked them, he said, what are your dreams for life? What are your goals? He said 80% said, I don't know, I don't have any. 80%. He said 16% said, I have some dreams, but I've never written them down. 3% said, I've written my dreams at some point, but I don't know where they are. 1% said, I have dreams, I've written them down, and I review them on a consistent basis. He said, you know who the 1% were? Millionaires. Every single one of them were millionaires. And the clues these millionaires left for us, 1, I have dreams. 2, I take the time to write them down. And 3, I keep them before my eyes. So what would happen to you if you were to take the time to just think? Just take a few minutes to just think. What does God want me to get serious about? Is it getting out of debt? Then add up that debt. Put a picture of money in here and speak over that debt every single day. You know, years ago, Napoleon Hill, have y'all ever read the book Think and Grow Rich? Okay, that book, you know, has gone all over the world, millions and millions of copies. But before he wrote that book, you know, he did research. And Andrew Carnegie hired him and he said, I want you to interview 500 millionaires and find out if they have a formula or any kind of success trait that every single one of them have in common. So it took him 25 years to write that book because he did research on the most successful people in the world at that time. It was people like Alexander Graham Bell, Henry Ford, Charles Schwab, Thomas Edison, John D. Rockefeller, the richest people at that time. He came back to Andrew Carnegie and he said, they do. They all have something in common. He said, every single one of them have clearly defined written goals. Clearly defined written goals. We can do this, can't we?
Yes.
If you were to just take the time to write one dream down, just one dream, you know, even just imagine that it's December 31st of this year, and you look back over the year and you say, this has been the most amazing year of my life. What would need to happen for you to say that? That kind of helps me when I think of it like that. That kind of helps me think, what do I really want to say to my friends, to my family, or say the pastor told you on December 31st, come up here and testify, tell us what happened. What would you want to tell everybody? Then that's your goal. That's your dream. Is it you lost the weight you wanted to lose? You got the house you wanted? You sold something? You started a business? You got a promotion at work? What is it? So think about that. I won't take as long on the others, but 2 is, as I began to read success books, just reading books from successful people, I began to discover things like, I remember Jesse Duplantis said that, and he's been here, hasn't he? He said that years ago, he had a television bill that was $60,000, and he didn't have the extra cash. And so y'all have heard how he jokes. He says, Lord, you got mail, you know. But he said he needed $60,000. He said he heard the Lord say to him, Jesse, you got wealth all around you. Just look for it. And he said, your wealth is in your fragments. Remember that story where Jesus said, gather up the fragments? Well, he said, when it's fragments, you don't think of it as much. But when you put it all together, it turns out to be a lot. So Jesse said, the Lord told him, he said, tell every staff member at your office to turn the lights off every time they leave their office. If they're going to the restroom, if they're going to talk to a coworker, no matter what, turn the lights off. Every single person did that for the whole month. They saved $5,000 on the electric bill in 1 month. Wow. What's 5,000 times 12? 60,000. And God was telling him, you got wealth all around you. Just look for it. So I began to learn things like that. So I told my staff, let's do that. Let's look around. We found desks, you know, that people didn't need. We found a trailer nobody was using. We made $34,000 like that. Wow. Just looking. And that was just me starting a habit of making myself read 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, just educating myself. And I remember learning this about connections, about associations, that, you know, I heard one guy say, if you want to see where your life is headed, look at the list of names in your cell phone. Why? Because you become like those you spend the most time with. So if you're not impressed with that list, make some new connections. Get around people, you know. Get around big dreamers. Do you know that there's even a certain species of fish, and I happen to have it with me? it's Nemo. all the little kids are like, can I have it? But you know, I heard there's a certain species of fish. You put that fish in a small aquarium and it will stay small. You take that same fish, put it in a large body of water, and it will grow to its intended size. And it said people are the same way. You take people and you put them in a small, limited, harsh environment and they'll stay small. You get them in an environment like this church and your thinking will begin to grow. Your dreams will begin to enlarge. Your faith will rise. You'll grow to the size God intended you to be. But you have to make yourself. But, you know, you have to make yourself do that because, see, you know, I told you faith and fear are opposite forces, right? If you get around people who constantly tell you your dreams are ridiculous, they laugh at your dreams, it's not going to happen, who do you think you are, then you're going to be filled with fear. Do you know that fear is contagious just like faith? You know, I remember Cassidy, my daughter, she had a little slumber party one night years ago. The kids were like 9 years old, and they all went outside at night, and they had this silly string. I don't know if you know what that is. You spray it, and string goes everywhere. Okay, they're screaming, and they're, you know, spraying this stuff at each other. Well, all of a sudden, one little girl heard something in the bushes and started screaming. Well, then 15 little 9-year-old girls are screaming. They're all scared because of one little girl. Well, fear is contagious, isn't it? Yes. But so is faith. Amen. When you get around people who tell you, that's not a crazy dream. You seriously think you'll have books published? I believe in you. Go do it. Start writing the book. Get ready. Publisher's going to be calling soon. You got to get around people like that because faith is contagious. Number three, that third habit that I started was reviewing my dreams and goals every day. Now, here's why I did that. You know, there's a principle in the Word of God that basically states you become what you behold. In other words, whatever you keep before your eyes, it will eventually show up in your life. You know, the world, the success world, calls it the law of attraction. We call it Proverbs 23:7. Whatever a man thinks in his heart, so does he become. What you think about, you bring about, right? Yeah. Well, I began reviewing my dreams and goals because do you remember the story where Abraham, you know how God told Abraham, he said, you're going to be the father of many nations. And he told him, he said, come outside, look at the stars. He said, can you count them? And Abraham said, no. He said, that's how many kids you're going to have. And then do you remember during the daytime, he told him, he said, come outside, look at the sand. He said, that's how many kids you're going to have. Well, think about this. Abraham lived in the desert. So what is he surrounded by all day long? Sand. What's he see all night long? Stars. So he was surrounded by vision. And then you remember his nephew Lot. Do you remember how it says that he went up and he pitched his tent and faced it towards Sodom and Gomorrah? So every day when he opened his tent, what did he see? Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah got in him, didn't it? Whatever you keep before your eyes will show up in your life. That's why I have a dreams and goals book. That's why I have a giant vision board in my office. Because every day when I look up from my desk, I want to see where we're headed. I want to see vision. You know, we now have the dreams and goals app for your smartphone. Because like on the road like this, you know, I take my dream book. But when I'm in the hotel, every day I look at those dreams on my app and I just speak over them. Keep them before my eyes. So what would happen to you if you did that? You know, the world has caught on to this. But how much more for the Christians? Like, do y'all remember the story of Jim Carrey that I told? Do you want me to tell it again? Okay, because I have it right here, and I thought, well, I'll just tell it. But years ago, Jim Carrey, the actor, you know, he was just a struggling Canadian trying to make it in Hollywood, and he wasn't getting any good movie roles. So he said that every day he would drive his old beat-up Toyota truck up Mulholland Drive in Los Angeles, and he said he would look out over the city of L.A. and point to the city and say, I'm a good actor. Producers are calling me. I get the best movie roles. That part kind of freaks me out because that's Romans 4:17, isn't it? Yes. He was calling things that be not as if they were, whether Jim Carrey knows it or not. So he said he took his dream a step further. He took out a blank check from his wallet and he wrote on there, pay to the order of Jim Carrey in the amount of $10 million. And then he wrote down here on the memo, he wrote for acting services. And then he said he postdated it 5 years later, and he wrote Thanksgiving 1995. So this was in 1990. He said every single day that dream was before his eyes. He kept it in his wallet. So he said every day, you know, when he filled up his little truck with gas, he saw his dream. When he went to get a cup of coffee, he saw his dream. Do you know that by the year he postdated the check, 1995, he had already filmed Ace Ventura, The Mask, and Dumb and Dumber. Wow. He was already receiving $20 million per picture by that time. So Jim Carrey says, you know, when his dad died in 1994, he said he put that check in the coffin with his dad as a tribute to the man who not only taught him to dream, but to write his dreams and keep them before his eyes. Okay, whether Jim Carrey knows it or not, this is Habakkuk 2:2. Write the vision, make it plain. Why? So you can run when you read it. Yes. Now, I think as Christians, so many times we've heard that scripture, but we get so confused about it. I'm not real sure if it's really God what I'm writing, or it just seems like so much work. I don't know where to begin. This is pretty simple, isn't it? Yes. If you have debt, you need to add up the debt. Write that number down. You need to be able to know exactly how much you're believing for. You got to be specific because, you know, vague goals produce vague results. If you're just saying, God, I'm asking you for increase this year. This is my year for increase. Well, God could give you 5 pounds and there's your increase because you weren't specific, right? Yes. Write the vision, make it plain. You know, you're going to get exactly what you're believing for. So you might as well believe big, right? So the fourth habit that I began was just praying, meditating, spending time with God. And I just told myself every day I'm going to do something. So don't get hung up on the fact of, you know, if I can't spend an hour with God or I can't spend 20 minutes, just don't do anything. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. And, you know, it's not just that, you know, the dedicated time with the Lord is the best, but he's always with you. So practicing the presence of God. You know, when you're driving, talk to him. You know, when you're taking a shower, when you're putting your makeup on, when you're cooking, when you're cleaning, just always being aware that he's there. And so my dad taught me, can y'all hear me okay? Because I know I'm talking really soft. My dad taught me years ago, he said, every time you go into your prayer time with the Lord, take a journal and a pen and be expecting to hear from God. And so I started that. You know, like I remember just sitting there listening, and I didn't hear anything. And I would listen, and didn't hear anything. Days would go by, and I'd try to listen, you know. And I remember hearing the Lord finally. The first thing I heard was him say, I love you, Terry. I've loved you all along. And I just started crying, you know, because I had so much shame in my life at that time. And it just broke that shame. Well, another time I remember just listening and I was practicing that. And Dad told me, write whatever you hear. Even if you just think it's your own head talking, practice listening to the voice of God. So I remember one time just writing, you know, I thought I heard clean up and clean out. And I thought, is that my mom's voice or is that God? So I wrote it down anyway. But, you know, it turned out to be one of the most therapeutic things. I took it literally. I went through every room in my house, cleaned everything out, but I was listening to the word while I was cleaning. Like I took a CD player and I would push play and I would clean everything, every dresser drawer, every cabinet, every single room. So I was cleaning and I was getting rid of old memories, but I was also building my faith. But just starting with that, you know, I started with clean up, clean out. Then I began to hear, I want you to reach the nation of France. There's 20 cities I want you to go to. And I would write that down. Well, now I've preached in 7 of the 20 cities. But practicing that, you know, that's what's led me to what I'm doing today, was that simple habit of saying, I'm going to make myself spend time with God at least 5 minutes every day. So what would happen for you? See, God wants to speak to you even more than you want to listen. And he said, my sheep know my voice. So practice that. Just take a journal and a pen and just listen. If you don't hear anything, that's okay. Do it again. In fact, there's a scripture, I think it's in Jeremiah, that says, write all the words I speak to you in a book. And so I love it because if you don't write it down, you'll forget. In fact, when the Lord told me to start the women's event, you know, called Icing, I wrote every single thing down. And then when fear would come at me, you know, like you're going to have an event based on a cake product. I mean, all these people are saying, are you sure you heard from God? I would go back to that journal and be like, this is what I heard. And it would give me that confidence. Yes. So what would happen for you if you did that? And then the fifth habit was exercise. And that just obviously makes you feel better inside and out. And there's a direct link between physical health and emotional health. So for me, I just started by walking. You know, I won't get into this that much, but I just started walking every day for 20 minutes. I just set the alarm on my phone and say, I'm going to walk for 20 minutes. And then it led to 30 minutes. Then it would lead to an hour. But it was just that exercise making you feel better on the inside, you know, and the outside. But, you know, the thing is, today, people ask me all the time. They'll say, Terry, how do you know so many motivational quotes? I mean, you just rattle them out. Well, every day, I listen to a message. Today, on the plane, on the flight over here, I was listening to Joel Osteen. Every day, listening to the word, every time you have an opportunity. Or people say to me, you know, Terry, how do you have the confidence to speak to thousands of people and not be nervous? Well, every day in my prayer time, I make declarations. And one of them is, I'm confident to speak in front of live audiences. I'm confident to speak on television. I speak at the largest conferences in the world. I say that every day. And see, what you repeatedly hear, you eventually believe. And you believe your own self more than anybody. So imagine hearing that every day. So the other thing, you know, people say, how do you have energy to fly overseas and you never have jet lag? Well, every day I incorporate exercise, so I feel better. People say to me, you know, why is it every dream you seem to write down happens? Well, every day I keep my dreams and goals before my eyes. Whatever you keep before your eyes will show up in your life, right? So the biggest question I get asked is, how in the world do you have time to do all that? Well, I do believe we make time for what's important, right? But have you ever heard of the Pareto principle? It's also called the 80-20 rule. You know, it suggests that 20% of your activities produce 80% of your results. Do you know that those 5 things I just told you that I do every day, I'm totally done by 8 o'clock in the morning? Every one of them, totally done by 8 o'clock in the morning. And then you have the rest of the day to do whatever you need to do. So what would happen if you changed a few things in your daily routine? Just start with a 21-day goal. Even I would suggest that you start with this one. Do something every day to build your faith. Because the reason this is so important is when God gives you a dream, a goal, even right now I can see some of you are thinking, you're thinking about your dreams, what's important to you, what do you want to accomplish by December 31st? When God gives you that impossible dream, you're either going to respond with faith or fear. And honestly, like I shared with you, you know, some of the dreams that have happened in my life, and I could spend hours telling you all the amazing things God's done, and I give him all the praise. But I have a lot of dreams in here that haven't happened. And honestly, I don't have a clue how they're going to happen. But the number one question that will stop you from achieving your dreams is asking how. Don't ask how. Vision comes first, provision comes later. Vision comes first, ideas come later. You just have to get the vision first and give yourself permission to dream it and to write it down. And I want to tell you this too. Don't be concerned if all of your friends don't believe in your dreams. Because you have to remember, God did not tell them what he told you. You know, they're not listening to God for your life. They're listening for their own life. So when they laugh at you and they think it's ridiculous, it doesn't matter. It's like I love what Dr. Daniel Amen said. He has this 18-40-60 rule. He says when you're 18, you kind of worry what everybody thinks about you. When you're 40, you don't care what anybody thinks about you. Then when you're 60, you realize nobody's been thinking about you. Because most people are too consumed with their own lives. So don't give up your dreams because you're so concerned about other people. Like I said before, you're going to stand before God, give an account for your life, not their life. So let me just say this. I said at the beginning, success is something you attract by the person you become. If you want more, you must become more, right? Let me just ask you real quick. Can you imagine taking your biggest financial problem to someone like Donald Trump? Your biggest financial challenge right now, can you imagine sharing it with him? He would probably laugh, wouldn't he? He would laugh at my financial challenges. He'd be like, you got to be kidding me. But you know, the size of the challenge depends on the size of the person. So the key is to become bigger than our challenges, right? So as you change just a few things in your daily routine, you're going to be able to handle bigger challenges. It won't seem so overwhelming. And that's why I'm convinced the secret of your future is in your daily routine. And so I just want to close out with this. Is I want to challenge you to never stop growing. Do something every day to grow. In fact, you know, I started out with that statement from John Maxwell about, you know, if he came to the house and watched you. But just imagine even if one of the young people in the church just asked you, can I just come and learn from you? Because I want to be successful. Can I just watch what you do on a daily basis? What would you want them to see? I mean, just think about it. And it could just be that you tell them, well, you know what? Every day I listen to a faith-building message. I never go a day without feeding my spirit. And they say, when do you do that? Well, I do it while I'm getting ready. Got to get ready anyway. You know, just think about it along those lines. What would you want a young person to observe about your life that they say, I want to be just like you? Because I'm telling you, the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. And you know, I want to challenge you with this. Don't settle. Don't settle where you are. There's no neutral with God. We're either going forward or we're going in reverse. He never meant for any of us to, you know, accomplish a few things and then say, man, that's good enough. God never meant, you know, because where there is no vision, you perish. So you never get to a place where you say, gosh, I've done so many cool things. Let's stop. In fact, do y'all remember in Genesis when Abraham and his father, Terah, it says they set out for the promised land. Now, the promised land represents abundance. It represents more than enough, right? But all of a sudden, it says his father, Terah, stopped along the way and just settled in Haran. You never hear much about him, do you? You hear all kinds of stuff about Abraham. But his father stopped along the way. It's not what he wanted, but he just settled in Haran. You know, it reminds me of I heard a story about this famous mountain climbing resort in the Swiss Alps. And they cater to businesses, you know, and they like to have businesses come and meet at the bottom of the mountain. They have a pep rally, you know, and they encourage everybody to climb to the top, build team spirit and camaraderie, you know. And they said what they do is they put all the hiking gear on, they climb up the mountain, and about halfway up the mountain, there's this amazing alpine restaurant. So they go in there about 12 o'clock, they peel off the hiking gear, they sit by the fire, have a nice lunch, drink a hot cup of coffee, and it says once they're comfortable and full, less than half continue the climb to the top. And it said it's not because it's too difficult or they're unable to do it. It's because they're satisfied with what they've achieved. They've tasted a little bit of success and they think, this is good enough. Don't settle for what you have achieved so far. Don't settle for life the way it is right now. God has so much more for you. But you got to give yourself permission to dream it. I'm convinced if you can dream it, God can do it. Amen? Did y'all receive that? Okay. I wanted to tell you what we have in this cute little kit. We have the Imagine Big book. This book will teach you how to set goals. You want to hold that? Teach you how to set goals, how to conquer procrastination in your life. You know, I do believe different ministers have a different gift, a different anointing. And I've recognized over the years that the anointing God has given me is discipline to reach your goals. And so I teach that, you know, how to go after those dreams and not give up somewhere halfway in between. And then also we have 5 CDs in here. One entire message is on conquering procrastination. One is on getting cleaned up. I think clutter blocks success. There's a direct link between organization and success. I mean, for example, can you imagine if, do you know who John Maxwell is? Yes. Can you imagine if John Maxwell was here tonight and you said to him, Mr. Maxwell, can I get a ride in your car? Take me back to my house. What if you jumped in his car and it was full of French fries from McDonald's and trash and Coke cans and the inspection sticker ran out and it hasn't been washed? Would you be surprised? I would be very surprised. Because of the standard of excellence that he represents, I would just expect that in his personal life. I believe that when you start cleaning up the clutter, your purse, your house, your refrigerator, your bills, it prepares you for promotion. Because if you're faithful in little, God makes you ruler over much, right? So there's one on, you know, clutter, and there's one on using your imagination to believe, you know, for what you want. And then, of course, there's the Dreams and Goals book for you to put pictures of what you're believing for. And I've got samples in here of how I do it for myself. So this was normally 50 pounds, but it's 35. So we only sent 20, and I have no idea why. But hopefully it's a blessing to you. 19 left. You're eating that one. Oh, my goodness. But I just want you to do it, right? Can you write your dreams? Are you going to write at least one? Will you do it before Friday? Just before the week, before Saturday, whatever, before the week goes out. Do something to write one dream down. And then will you do something to build your faith every day? You can do that, right? I sure love y'all. And I appreciate you so much. Thank you, Pastor.